I'd like to talk to you tonight, in the time that I have, by starting in Matthew 28. This is a common missionary text, but I want to go over some things with you and share some ideas with you tonight. Something that has encouraged me greatly. This is the very text that captured my attention to call me into missions, making Christ's last command my first concern. And, of course, the Great Commission is this text. Okay, and I'm going to try and use this PowerPoint. Not that good at this kind of thing, but let's see what we can do. Matthew 28, reading in verse 18, first says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. And let's just go through the other texts real quickly that are in the Bible. For instance, in Mark, we have here this text. It says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And then another text in Luke, "And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So there's different texts in the Bible that emphasize different things. The one in John says this, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. Then said Jesus to them, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And then Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So you've heard all of these texts. And I would just like to take the time just to give what I feel are some essential points of the Great Commission. First of all, we should know that the Great Commission talks about the fact that Jesus has all authority. We find that in Matthew chapter 18, or 28, verse 18. And this authority, in your text it might say power, but the word in the original language is authority. And he has the liberty to choose and the right to act. He has the ability and the capacity to act, okay? And power is a good word in the King James that's used there. But also, he has the authority and the absolute power to do whatever he needs to do. And then also, along with that, you shall receive power. And this power that is here is the word dynamite that we get from Greek, dunamis. And so that's the kind of idea. It's an energetic force. And so this is what's involved in the Great Commission. Christ has the authority, and we are to receive an energetic power to fulfill the Great Commission. And then, we are sent by Christ. The go here. As Christ was sent by the Father, we are sent out into the world. And then another text says that you shall be my witnesses. And we're not going to get to it tonight, but I like 2 Corinthians 5 that talks about you are my ambassadors, as God through you has been pleading with the world that they be reconciled with God. And it's through us that God reaches the world. That really astounded me one day when I realized that fact. God could do all kinds of things. He could show himself powerful, but he could show his power. He could demonstrate himself. He could appear. He could do many different things. But his plan is to use earthen vessels like you and me to reach out to other people. And this is how somehow God is going to get glory in the fact that we're his witnesses. And what is our message about? We're to preach the good news. Christ suffered and he resurrected. We're to preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And we're to do this in the name of Christ. It's not our message. It's not for us to decide what needs to be communicated. The message is pure and simple. And I know the gospel includes many things. The whole gospel is really our whole body of doctrine in many different ways. But the central thrust in the beginning of the Great Commission of the gospel really should be to preach that Christ suffered and died. And why did he do that? He suffered and died because I'm a sinner. And there's a holy God in heaven that won't let me into his presence one day. And in fact, beyond that, we're to go and we're to preach to every person. We're not to discriminate between these people. We're to go to every nation. And there, he says in Acts 1:8, we're first to go to Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Or in other words, in our day and age, my city I should go to, my state I should go to, my country I should go to, and somehow I should make an impact internationally. Now, all of us can't do that. But nonetheless, this is what the Great Commission is about. And that burden has been placed on the church. And you might feel like, how can we do that? And I have to say to you that while we're in Brazil, sometimes we just sit down in a meal and we just say, how are we going to do this here? How do you communicate cross-culturally with people that think in a different way about all kinds of things? How do you do it? Well, God is the one that gives us the ability to do that. It's God's message, and we try and stay on point and stay on message and preach the gospel to people. When we were trying to get people to come to our Bible study that we have on Friday night in Igata, that Bible study, it started in a school, then we didn't explain that it had to leave the school and it had to move to our house because we weren't allowed to meet in the school anymore. Well, in order to get people to start coming to that meeting after a break time of the summer, because on the summer, you know how it is, Pastor, right? Everybody goes on vacation and everything goes crazy. But so we restarted the Bible study, and what we did is we tried to invite people to come, and we tried to work our network, and we gave out invitations. We encouraged everybody who was helping with the Bible study, other believers from our church that came to it, to when they go to pay for something, they have an invitation with them, and they give it to the guy at the gas station, they give it to the guy at the bread store, they give it to somebody at the market, that wherever they go, these faces of people that they see all the time in their day-to-day life, in their network, that they should pass out invitations to these people. Because this is our network, this is where we live. You don't have to go knock door to door, cold turkey. You know, if all of you here just thought in that regard, take these invitations, Pastor Dan mentioned here tonight for Easter. What if in the whole next week, can I challenge you for this? You get enough of those invitations, and whenever you pull out your wallet, you have an invitation with it. Whether it's at Walmart, whether it's at the gas station, whether it's at the doctor's, the secretary, you just give it to everybody. And when you give out that invitation, and just invite them to come, but you know what I also do? I kind of want to hook them to come and give them a motivation to come. We don't promise prosperity. We don't promise a better life, you know, and things like that. But what we do, but what I want to talk to them about is the message of the gospel. And they'll say, well, I go to so-and-so church. Hey, that's great. Tell me something. The church that you go to, what do they teach you about life after death? What's going to happen to you? And people do not have answers for that. I talk with them right then when I give the invitation. I get to that right away. And for our first Bible study, we tried to show a film. Nobody came. But we did our network thing. 6 people showed up. And one of those people came because I put the invitation on Facebook. Maybe you saw it. I did it in Portuguese and all that, and you don't know what I'm talking about. But that's what it was, okay? And a couple came from the neighboring city of Esteio. And it's interesting, too, that Marcus and Michele, they showed up in front of our house to come in. And the same time, the TV technician, who is married to Marcus's sister, came. And they didn't even know they were coming, both of them. I thought, oh, it would help that their brother and sister, they'll bring each other and encourage each other. And no, they didn't even know. They didn't even talk about it. And they showed up at the same time and walked in together. I thought they came together. What a blessing to see that 2 different people, 2 different families, and 2 different areas were interested in coming. So the point is, when you pass out, give a word. And what I say to people when I say, okay, if they don't have an answer to give me about what's going to happen to them after this life, if they're going to go to heaven, then what I say to them, I say, well, listen, Our Bible study in the book of Romans is going to talk about these subjects. It's going to talk about who God is, who we are, what our problem is, our faults and our failures that make us separated from God. Because where is God today? Do you see him around? Does he come and knock on your door? Not really. God is far off. Why? Because he's holy. That's what holy means. He's separate. And so I tell these people that in the book of Romans, we're going to talk about those subjects. And we're going to talk, too, about the solution that God has. That how that we can have a friendship with God and we can have a relationship with God. And things that are wrong and separate between us now can be made right and we can come together with God while we're here on this earth. And so a man at the auto parts store came. He'd been going to the Assembly of God church. And when I asked him about if he was saved or if he knew what's going to happen to him, he said, well, I've been going to this Assembly of God church for only a year, so we haven't got to that yet. Can you imagine, Pastor Dan? You go to church for a whole year, and the guy doesn't have a notion about what's going to happen to his soul after he dies? So he came, and he even delayed the vacation time so that he could come to our Friday night Bible study. And then he left Friday night after the study to drive to his vacation time. He missed the next week because he's on vacation. But anyways, we're glad that he is coming. I can't even pronounce his name, huh? Idanir or something like that. It's a really different name, but we're glad that he has come. And Marcos and Michelle and the TV technician and his wife and their daughter. So pray for that group that they'll continue to come. And why? What happened? Because we invite people on point, on message. And that is Christ and him crucified, the gospel. That is people's greatest need. We can talk about social issues. We can talk about the economy and the politics and all of those kind of things. And maybe they have a bearing on our life day to day, and they surely do. But the point, the greatest need that people have is the gospel. And so that's what we ought to preach to every nation and to every person. And the Bible says that some of these will believe to salvation. But if they don't believe, what happens if they don't believe? Not only do you miss salvation, a positive benefit of believing, but you stand condemned before God by God. That's what people miss out on. Salvation, and then they stand condemned. And I have not been shy about talking with people at times when it lends itself to that. And get to this thing, I'm okay. People say when you're witnessing, I'm all right. You know, everything's going to be all right. And I say, well, let me just warn you, okay? The Bible says very clearly that God has something wonderful to offer you. His knowing him and being in his presence and going to heaven one day. But also, let me just warn you that the Bible says that everyone will stand before God alone. And we will give an account for the works that we've done in our flesh. And the Bible says, and the books will be open, the book of life and the other books. And I think in those other books are all of our works, and God's going to look through all of that. And if you're here tonight and you really don't know that you're saved, he's going to look in that other book and he's going to find those works that condemn you. But you might say, well, I haven't murdered anybody, and this is how Catholics think, and a lot of people think in Brazil, I haven't done anything really bad. What was the sin of Adam and Eve? They disobeyed God and ate a piece of fruit. That's what all of our little kids do at times, and we say, oh, isn't that cute? He's just so cute, you know? He didn't know what he's doing. No, he knows exactly what he's doing. It's in his nature. And the sooner you get that out of a kid, the better it is that he learns to obey you. And then he'll learn to obey God. But people have this idea that they can do a lot of bad things, and even just little things. But the Bible says that they will be condemned. And we need to make that clear to people without, you know, hammering them, or I suppose get the idea that we're just hellfire and brimstone preaching people. But we need to warn people at the appropriate time. Because if there's something wrong on the road ahead, we need to warn people. Hey, there's a problem. The bridge is out, you know. And if there's some problem for them, they're going to be condemned one day and experience eternal judgment. We need to warn them about that kind of thing. That's what the gospel's about, so that they can believe to salvation. And then we want to make disciples, okay? Jesus has all authority. And then we want to talk about the fact that he has all authority, first in heaven and in earth. If you want to look in your Bibles, in Daniel chapter 7, I have it all written here. I'm going to read. But this was foretold that Jesus would have all authority by Daniel. Chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. And it says, "And I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came from the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancients of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there were given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and tongues should serve him." That means all people. Every single person is going to serve Christ one day because he's going to have the dominion, the glory, and a kingdom. Okay? His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And so this will be forever his kingdom. Jesus declared that he would establish a kingdom on earth. Matthew 16 says, "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." And Jesus knew this kingdom was waiting for him. And he declared that to people. And he knew that he was going to reign one day and he was going to rule. Also, the Bible says in the passage in Luke chapter 1, I can't remember the context just now, but it's telling about the birth of Christ. It's a song of praise. It says, "He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end." Well, Jesus isn't reigning right now on the throne of David, but when he is on that throne of David one day, he will reign forever, the Bible says. The Gospel of John presents Jesus with authority. John 3 says, "The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things unto his hand." So all things are going to be given under the power of the Son. John 5 says, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." We know that the Holy Spirit directs people to Jesus Christ. And I was talking to a man this morning in another church, and he's saying, "Yeah, we need to emphasize more Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Jesus and the Holy Spirit." No, the Holy Spirit emphasizes Jesus. Okay? And it turns out this man says, "Yeah, I visit various churches." And some of those churches are Pentecostal churches. And that's why he wants to talk about the Holy Spirit. But I have to say to you, the Holy Spirit's doing a quiet work. He convicts men of sin and righteousness and judgment. And he points people to Christ. He's on point. He's on the message. The gospel message. Pointing people to Christ. And then Jesus has said that that he wants to glorify the Father in all that he does. But it seems at the end of all this time, God is going to glorify the Son and put things under his control. So it's like they're kind of giving back the authority that they have. But God wants to, as the Father, give a judgment and authority unto his Son. John 13 says, "When Jesus was betrayed, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God." John 17 says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to all, to as many as thou hast given him." And so Jesus gets the power. Also, the Bible says to us that God has made Jesus Christ the Lord. Acts 2 says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." Now it may not seem like he's in control of everything these days, but one day everything is going to be made right, and he will be Lord, and he will be Christ. Romans 14 says, "For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living." And then the Bible says, also in the New Testament, that all will be subject to Christ, even death. 1 Corinthians 15 says, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that he shall destroy is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith, all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So he's going to dominate, he's going to have all the authority, and then he's going to put away death one day. That's our worst enemy these days, because that's the power of sin, and that is the thing that really we all fear. Even as Christians, we think, what is that going to be like? Perhaps we fear that. And the dying that we go through every day. Yesterday I went out, I don't know what I was thinking. I'm 57 years old, and I went out and played Speedway with a bunch of kids on a football field, and I ran around for almost 3 hours, and I tell you, I'm broken all over the place, you know. But one day, all things will be made right, and this dying slowly that I'm going through, this getting old, it's not that easy, I tell you. But God is going to get all things organized one day and make things all right. And then the Bible says in Ephesians 1, it says that when we're all gathered together in heaven, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and in earth, even in him, and set him on his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that is to come. And then Jesus will be exalted and every knee shall bow. Wonder if I'm supposed to be having, I'm supposed to be showing some of these. I forgot, okay? I'm into it, you know, so. Philippians says, Jesus shall be exalted and every knee shall bow. You know this passage. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And so I just want to challenge you tonight by talking about the authority and the power that Jesus Christ has. The application is this: because he has the power, we're to go and do the Great Commission. It's not in my power. His plan is to use an earthen vessel, a jar of clay, to go out and do something that I have no ability really to do, but it's his power, because he has the power. What we have to do is we have to have the courage to find different ways to go and do things and to talk to people about the gospel and share with them. We have to have just the courage and go out and do these things. And let's be on point. Let's be on message. It's not our message. And I've tried to tell my people in Brazil and in our church there, I don't preach this because I'm a Baptist. And I don't preach this because I'm an American, because sometimes they think, oh, that's the way Americans think. You know, there was a girl that we brought to church when she was in seventh grade, in 2001 when we arrived there, Hanata. And just before she got married, she's married to a Christian guy now and still in the church. After 10 years, one of the Brazilian wives talked about modesty and how women ought to dress modestly. There's a big problem about this in Brazil. And Renata said, I thought that was just Americans. And we show them Bible text, and things like that. Oh, it's just the way the Americans think. Well, the things we preach are not because we're Baptists, not because we're Americans, not because we're from Midland. It should be things that are in the Bible. And we should be able to transmit God's word and God's will to people. And the point of our message is Jesus Christ and him crucified, and let's have courage to go out and do what we ought to do. Why? It's not our power. And you know, folks, when you see somebody accept Christ as Savior and really go on, afterwards you're like, how did that happen? How did that happen? I talked to them a little bit here, and this other person talked here. And how did that happen? It's because God does it. And if you think that you're the super soul winner, maybe you'll go through a time that something will happen and God will really convince you, no, I get the glory for saving souls because it's God that works in people's hearts. But we're the messengers. We're the seed bearers. And if we don't plant the seed, and if you don't invite people to breakfast next week on you, on your church, they're not going to hear. And so we need to have the courage to just go and do what we're doing. Folks, what are we about? I'm not a missionary because I want to evangelize people and plant churches. I wanted to evangelize people and plant churches. Therefore, I became a missionary. You see the difference? I think after you get consumed with the message and the job that God has given us to do, you can't resist this. And maybe there's someone here that would say, yeah, man, I really feel a burden for doing the work of the ministry. And maybe God will just call you. Can I do this, Pastor Dan? Can it call you out of this place and go to some foreign field or go to Standish like our brother did? It was in a church there for 10 years preaching the gospel and growing in the Lord. We just have to have courage to know that it's not our power. It's not our ability. It's our Heavenly Father that gives us all of this ability. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your goodness to us. And for some reason, you have shown your favor on all of us who are saved. Help us to be faithful and help us to do what you've asked us to do. Some maybe will do it better than others because you've gifted them in different ways, but help us all to try and help us to do our part. And in the end, you'll get the glory no matter who does a good job or who doesn't really do the same kind of job. So help us, Father, to be your servants and help us to be faithful to the end. We pray these things in Jesus' name now. Amen.